Good morning, heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Friends and others. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all today. It's good to be together. I know it's a holiday weekend and some folks are traveling, and we just pray safety over them in the name of Jesus. Would you give this to Pastor Deborah? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have been and continue to enjoy a wonderful presence of God in our worship, our expressions of songs towards Him, and I just remain grateful. Let me set this down here and then put it right there. Thank you. Never ever want to take Him for granted. Amen. We never, ever want to take Him for granted. And so, Father, we honor You and we thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your faithfulness in all of our lives in every way, ways that we don't even know about. We want to thank You for that right now. Father, we thank You that You are faithful to Your word. You are faithful to Your covenant. You're faithful to Your people. Father, we thank You. You said Your word would go forth and not return to You void, but accomplish that which You please and prosper wherein to the thing that You have sent it. So we thank You right now for Your word. Your word says that Your word is alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we just declare that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that You're here. You're already moving. Cause us to remain sensitive to You now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Would you just say amen? Amen. And would you just thank the Lord one more time for His presence here. Those of you that are joining, again, want to welcome you. If you happen to be looking at this for the very first time, I'm John W. Stevenson. I'm a senior pastor, apostle here at Heirs Covenant Church, also the CEO of the embassy. It's our building located in Hamilton, Ohio, 621 South Erie Boulevard. 45011 is the zip code. If you happen to live in this area, it's the former Roosevelt Junior High School, and you're welcome to come and worship with us anytime, all the time, or like some folks drive in. Amen. Kurt, they'll get in the car and drive from Columbus and Indiana and Kentucky and various places, and they're coming for the presence of God. Coming for the presence of God and all that God is doing. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the demonstration of the power of God. We believe in the prophetic. And it's not unlike us to give prophetic ministry to those who come as we feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. We believe in the power of God being manifested in our lives as believers and when we come together corporately. So I want to welcome you. Our DNA is kingdom, the kingdom of God, kingdom influence, kingdom impact, kingdom results. When we purchased this building, James, we didn't purchase it to make it a church. We purchased it that it would be an embassy, that it would be a place set aside for the kingdom of God. And just like the natural embassies, how many of you have traveled out of the country, traveled internationally, and you go to other countries and they have a U.S. embassy there? Let me see your hands. And I remember one trip I was on. I was in Singapore riding around with my host, and I saw the U.S. embassy. I said, it's good to know where it is, because if something jumps off, I know all I got to do is get there and I'm home. Yeah, that's what an embassy is. It's sovereign soil. So you can be in any other country if they have a U.S. embassy. Saw that in a movie one time called Safe House, a Denzel Washington movie. And Denzel, he's not a real good character in the movie, but he's running from the bad guys, and he sees that U.S. embassy. So he knows all I got to do is get across that gate. And so he's getting away from the bad guys, and he's got like 7-8 passports, you know. I mean, he's a spy and everything else. But he gets that U.S. passport out, and he starts running towards that gate, you know, and he's flashing. I'm a U.S. citizen. And they let him inside. And as soon as he crosses that gate, everybody else has to stop right there. Well, I believe in the spirit realm. That's exactly. Hey, come on. I believe in the realm of the Spirit. That's exactly what God has intended through the redemptive work of Christ, that the embassies would be established all over the earth. And all you have to do is get to that place where the people of God are. Then you will be in the presence of God. And it's like being in a kingdom embassy. So that's our assignment. That's what we're working towards, and God is graciously helping us to fulfill it. And so for those that are joined to this house, those that have given themselves to this ministry for some years, we understand this. We understand that when you come here, we're not as much inviting you to come to heirs as we're inviting you to come on sovereign soil. Amen. I remember on one occasion talking with a gentleman who was, God was working through him and others to establish a healing center. And for a while, we had the opportunity to have the possibilities of having it here. And as they were working on various things, marketing kind of things that they wanted to put out, Anita, he said, well, what about bringing healing back to the kingdom? I said, wait a minute. That ain't right. Okay, so now, okay, you got to just work with me. So now I'm thinking of that commercial I told you all about where the guy's in the shower. It's one of them Geico commercials or something. When the guy's in the shower and he's showering, but the inside of the shower is shag carpeting. And so he's showering and he's over there laying up against the carpet. And the voice is saying, that ain't right. So when he made that statement, bringing healing back to the king, I said, wait a minute, man. That ain't right. I said, no. There is no sickness in the kingdom. We're bringing healing to the world. But there is no sickness in the kingdom. Okay, kids, somebody else just shout hallelujah. I got an all right. I appreciate that. But I said there is no sickness in the kingdom. There is no lack, poverty in the kingdom. Okay, and that's why if we can press into the reality of the kingdom, you can change your reality here on earth. Be in the world, but not of the world. Now, most of the times we think about that like, okay, so you be in the world and you don't do the bad stuff that the world does. It's not just that. It's be in the world, but not of the world. The mindset is, I'm here on assignment. I represent the kingdom. This is a kingdom embassy. If you need help, God can help you more than anybody else. If you get here, you'll meet him. Come on, I need about five of y'all to clap right there. That's my commitment. That's my commitment. If you can get here, you'll meet him. Some years ago, a gentleman, we were talking about serving and ministry and things. And he made this statement that I'll never forget. I just kind of took it on as my own mantra, so to speak. And it's this: I live my life for your benefit at my expense. I live my life for your benefit at my expense. Simply meaning, I live a life of discipline in God to the best of my ability by the grace of God for your benefit. Simple example. Yesterday I'm preparing and you know, then I just want to take a break. I just wanted to watch a movie or something. You know, I just want, but you know what? The discipline in my life wouldn't let me do that. Because I rarely will ever do that. Now that's just me, okay? So I've learned to preach the word, live my convictions. So I'm talking about one of my convictions. But I live my life for your benefit at my expense. Every believer should live out of that place. When it comes to the world, I live my life for your benefit at my expense, meaning that at any given time, Holy Ghost can move through me for you. If we're in the grocery store, if we're at the dentist, you're in the park, you're at the laundromat, if you have to go to a laundromat, whatever it is, when you recognize the Holy Spirit, it's in us. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus was saying. Now, I am getting ready to move into a specific topic, but I just feel like this is a flow right now. I talked about last week, I think, was last week Pentecost Sunday? Was that Pentecost? Yes, it was. So I talked about the promise, the power, and the purpose of Pentecost. Overarching theme is, will the real church please stand up? And one of the points that I was making that I want to make again is what Jesus was saying concerning Holy Spirit. All too often, we focus on Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, but there's a whole lot more that comes with him. One, he is the Spirit of truth. He will lead and guide us into all truth. Jesus said this concerning him. He says, and this is John 14, verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. He was talking there about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the day of Pentecost was not just about speaking in tongues. Yes, it was about the power of God coming on us, but it was all that came with that, and in part is Spirit of truth. Say Spirit of truth. John 16 and verse, John 16, 5 through 15, you can read that in your own time, but it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. The scripture says that he will bring back to your remembrance the things that God has spoken to you. Have you ever just been going about your business and all of a sudden Holy Spirit reminds you of something that God has said? Some people have disciplined their lives where they have journals and they write journals. I have a folder that has prophetic words that I've received over the last 35 years. And some of those words, I go back every now and then and I dust them off and I look at them to see what's been fulfilled. Or the Holy Spirit will speak something to me and then I'll recognize he's connecting something for me to help me recognize how God is moving in my life. I had that experience yesterday as I was watching Dr. Bill Winston out of Chicago. Anybody familiar with Dr. Winston's ministry out of Chicago? If you're not, you owe it to yourself. He is a kingdom man. As a matter of fact, for Heirs Covenant Church, back in, I want to say it was 2011, that we were in the process of praying into, continuing to pray into what God had for us. We were on the corner of Crescentville and 747 at the time, a very small facility, particularly in light of where we are today. And maybe at the most, maybe it was about 10,000 square feet. God had blessed us to build it out very nicely. But we knew that's not all that God had for us. We also believe in the principle of sowing seed. And there's a principle of sowing where you want to go. Sowing where you want to go. So God can show you something and you're not looking at it out of envy or greed, but God can give you a glimpse of what he's doing with somebody else to help you recognize he wants to do something similar. Say similar. Yeah, not the exact same thing, but something similar in your life. And so sometimes how you activate that is by sowing a seed. And so we got together and we prayed about it and the board prayed about it. And we said, okay, we're going to sow a seed. And at that time, God had spoke to me. He said, son, you need a different kind of diet right now. See, the word that you and I hear, the word that you and I receive, it's the diet that we take in. Excuse me. Yeah. And so, I love my pastor. He will always be my pastor. He's always my bishop, my spiritual father, Bishop Joseph Garlington. And I receive from him every time I hear him, wherever I hear from him. But there's other times when you need other things in your diet as well. How many of you take supplements, vitamins? Yeah. If you don't, you might want to consider that. And I just want to tell you, don't take them on an empty stomach. So, some of us, Pastor Nina, know what I'm talking about. Some of us have some real bad experiences with that. Can cause you to be very, traumatized. But every now and then, you need some supplements. You need some supplements. And so God spoke to me, Dr. Bill Winston. Now, Dr. Bill Winston is out of Chicago. They own a mall. Okay, and he's not the only one that I know who owns a mall, but that's who God told me to connect with and to sow into. And so we prayed about it, and we took a seed of $10,000 to Dr. Winston's ministry. And the way God confirmed it was just amazing. Now, I'm not apologizing. I know that this is where the Lord wants me right now. And I remember that my wife and I, we got in the car, we drove up there. The favor of God was just incredible. God's favor has been on my life all my life, and I make no apology for it. But I remember we're riding up there, and we're talking to Dr. Winston's personal assistant, his personal assistant, and we're trying to get a hotel and everything. He says, "Don't worry about that." He said, we've got a prophet's quarter that you can stay in. He's talking about an apartment. So I want you to hear. So Dr. Winston's ministry had an apartment. Okay. And they made it a prophet's quarter where guests could come in that they have come in, and you could stay in the apartment. And he said, "You don't have to worry about going to a grocery store or anything. What do you like to eat? We'll have a refrigerator fully stocked for you." So when we got there, it was a Wednesday evening. We scheduled to see Dr. Winston on Thursday. And very busy man. And so when we get there, we were going to go to service, but we got there late. And so we just got the key to the apartment, and we went to the apartment, and we checked in. Just not checked in, but we got in, and we stayed. And the next morning, we got up, and we went back to their offices and everything to wait for a time to meet with Dr. Winston. He was committed to seeing us, just couldn't give us an exact time. And so his personal assistant said, "I will show you around. I'll give you a tour of everything." And we walked in the bookstore. And we walked in the bookstore, and they were playing the service from the night before. And on that screen, that worship team was singing, "Arise, O God." Now, some of y'all don't realize, they're singing a song I wrote in their service the night before. "Arise, O God." And I'm standing there, and Holy Spirit is saying, "You're in the right place. This is the right time." Now, I didn't go through the store saying, "Hey, that's my song. I wrote that song." I just made mental, spiritual note of that. And later on, we had the opportunity to sit down with Dr. Winston. We sat down with Dr. Winston, and he was very encouraging. We shared with him a property that we were looking at the time. And Dr. Winston is one of those kind of guys, he's just going to tell you just flat out. When we told him we had been on the property we were on for, I believe it was 10 years at that point, he said, "You've been there 10 years and you don't own it?" I was like, "Well..." He said, what's the address? What is it?" So he starts writing on the letter that we're giving to him with the check. And then he signs it and gives it back to us. And he prays over us. And that's it. Amen. And last night, I put on one of his messages from this past week. And I'm just listening and being encouraged. Man of faith, a man of kingdom. Then all of a sudden, another connection the Holy Spirit helped me to see. His mall is on a street called Roosevelt. Wow. This building was Roosevelt Junior High School. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, I thought that was something. We stayed in their apartment. On the third floor, we got our own apartment. And it's a really nice apartment. Really nice. I'm just sharing that to say you don't want to miss the moment. You don't want to miss the moment. You don't want to miss the signs. You don't want to miss when God, hear me now, you don't want to miss when God has answered or fulfilled a word, because you're so focused on the distractions. I just paused the message and just began to thank God. Eventually, I know I'll have the opportunity to speak with Dr. Winston again and just thank him for adding his faith to ours that got us here. The Holy Spirit is amazing in our lives when we will follow him, hear him, and obey him. And as Pastor Jamal was leading us in, just say yes. Just say yes. I said a moment ago that I started out a couple weeks back with the thought, will the real church please stand up? Will the real church please stand up? You see, the success of the church was never to be based on the size of the congregation or its membership, but rather its effectiveness to transform lives, communities, regions, nations, and systems by the power of God and the message of the gospel. There lies kingdom success. And I want to tell you that as much as, you know, there are some, and I've had the same thoughts of, you know, hey, I just hope people come back. I hope people come back. Well, I've kind of shifted. Yeah, I want people to come back, but I want fresh folk to come. I want new folk to come who can get excited about what God is doing in this time, in this season. How many of you know that we can get so accustomed to God, so accustomed to the presence of God, that we become dull of hearing? As a matter of fact, you can get so accustomed to God moving that you're not even praising him or thanking him the way you did when you first started experiencing the power of God in your life. And so I found myself saying, God, send the ones who are hungry for you now. Send the ones who are hungry for you now. I want to read a passage of scripture to you, and then I want to give you the thought that I want to speak on for the next 15 or 20 minutes. Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to read a good number of verses, so I need you to just focus on the screen if you want to follow along, or just close your eyes and just listen. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do, not able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Paul goes on and writes, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And so for the next few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought or the question, where are the sons of God? The mature ones. Where are the sons of God? The mature one. Paul, in his writing, he is making it clear that through the redemptive work of Christ, you and I, having received Christ, no longer live under condemnation. As a matter of fact, he's saying that while the law was set in place, you don't live by the law. You live by the Spirit. When Paul was writing there and going back to when God gave the commandments, the laws, he gave them in order to affect, if you will, their conduct. He gave them so he wouldn't have to kill them. He gave them the laws, and you do recognize this. You see, laws impact behavior, but does nothing to the heart. It has the ability to impact our behavior and our conduct, but it has nothing to do with the heart. And that's why the scriptures make it clear that while originally those laws were written on stones and tablets, it talks about the word being written on our hearts. So now your motivation, my motivation to do right isn't based on a list that we read. It's based on the one who lives on the inside of us and the word that we receive. Now, I'm going back to something I said earlier, and that is I've learned to preach the word and live my convictions, meaning that the word is the word, but I can teach a passage of scripture, which I do pretty much every week, and you will hear it relative to the convictions of the Holy Spirit concerning you. Okay? One of the things that has hurt the church is through the spirit of religion, what we did is we gave mandates, rules, and regulations and told everybody to live by it. And that is not the way this is supposed to be. This is a personal relationship. Now, there are certain things that are common to every believer, but this is a personal walk. And in this personal walk, I believe that God has intended, he has always intended for we as believers to come into a place of maturity where we become the sons of God. Now, you do understand that's not gender specific. When I say sons of God, I'm talking about all of us, okay? I don't want to have to keep saying sons and daughters of God, okay? So we're just going to stick with sons of God, and you can say that's me too, okay? But where we are right now, I believe, is that we have missed over generations, hundreds, maybe even thousands of years of recognizing what God really intended for his church and how the church was to grow and become, if you will, the scripture talks about the salt and the light in the earth. In Matthew 5 and verse 9, it says this, it's the Beatitudes passage, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, why is that? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. It doesn't say blessed are the radical ones, or blessed are the courageous ones. It says blessed are the peacemakers. Well, what's the connection there? I'm just giving you this, and we're going to unpack this over the next few weeks, because the downloads that I've got, I can't give them to you all today, or we'd be here till 9 o'clock tonight, and I'd probably be here by myself by then. But think about this. Jesus came as a man of peace. That's why when you read in Isaiah concerning his job description that he read in Luke 4, he doesn't talk about judgment. Holy Ghost is going to handle that. But he came as peace. The sons of God in the earth today are able to minister peace in the midst of hostile environments. Let me continue on with a few other scriptures here, because as I said, it's going to take a few weeks to really make this point clear for all of us, in hopes that we will be able to walk as the sons of God, because the world is in need of it right now. Matthew 5, 43 through 45, it says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and to good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." You see, as sons of God, you can arrive in a place where someone has done you wrong, and because of your place of maturity as a son of God, you can step back and say, "You know what? I'm going to overlook that, because my daddy's going to handle that. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that he's merciful towards you and not justice." Because you can't come at me like that and think you won't get dealt with. I'm talking about a son of God. I'm talking about being sons of God, sons of the Father. It's in John chapter 1, 12 and 13. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right," or King James says, "the power to become the children," or the sons of God, "even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Every born-again believer, once born again, we all have the opportunity to grow in God, to come to a place of maturity in God, that we begin to walk out who we are in God. Every believer has the same opportunity. I believe that every believer has the same measure of faith. And you and I, we exercise and we grow that faith. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power to become the sons of God." Now, I was saying on last week how that, well, I believe that it's been the scheme of the attack of the enemy, if you will, to try to demolish the foundation of the church. So therein lies him coming after apostles and prophets. As a matter of fact, therein lies the whole cessation theology, basically, that says certain things stopped back when in the early church. So tongues was a one-time thing, or that was just for the early church. And that's not true. The gifts of healing, the prophets, we don't need any prophets today. That's not true. the apostles. The scripture says that the foundation is laid upon the apostles, prophets, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. It's in Galatians, and those of you that are joined to this house know that this is a very specific passage that I like to teach and share from, because to me it speaks to a process of coming to maturity. Matter of fact, before that, in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, says this, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ. It goes on and says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. But you are one in Christ Jesus. It says, and if you belong to Christ, then you are of Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. The name heirs for me came years ago. I've had it now for over 40 years. I was in California, and a young lady said to me, I have a name for your group when you started, talking about a singing group ministry. I said, what is it? She said, heirs. I said, that sounds pretty good. Took me to the scriptures, heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I've had that word in my DNA since 1977. I believe that it was God, it was the Holy Spirit that infused it in me that would cause me to recognize I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. There are things that are available to us that if we can begin to grab a hold of the fact that we are heirs according to the promise, there are certain things that are yours by right. Now, I know that many teach, and I know that many believe, but I also believe it's out of more of a religious mindset than anything else that says, well, you don't really have a right to anything. Well, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Because the Word of God makes it clear. Jesus said, these signs will follow those that believe. We have a right to the power of God being manifested in our lives. We have a right to healing. We have a right to prosperity. We have a right to live a life of power, to demonstrate the glory of God, the power of God in the earth. It is our right. It is our privilege. It is balanced by the reality that the scripture also says, none are righteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everybody knows that, because that's what you've been taught. So we focus on that. But we don't focus on the fact that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't focus on the fact that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, 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 ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors. That's another word for sent one. That's another word for apostle, really, an ambassador. As a apostle, I remember I got a picture in my office right now of when hands were laid on me as apostle. My spiritual father were there. There were other leaders from the city of Cincinnati that were there, came as far as Dayton, came down, were part of the laying their hands on me as an apostle. I wept. Because that was 16 years in the making. It was my mother-in-law, Kurt, when I left Rhema, who said to me, you need to start reading what it means to be an apostle. Right. She wouldn't remember that today to save her life, but I do. And I remember having to navigate through the fact that right about the time that that service took place, I had just ordered tags for my car. Now, I like personalized plates. Some call them vanity plates. You can call it what you want. All right. I like making a statement. My tags say heirs. When people ask me about heir, well, what are you an heir of? Well, thank you for asking me. All right. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. What about you? But I remember my tag said sent one. I just said sent one. I didn't get one to say apostle, just sent one. I remember putting it on my car at the time. I was working with city leaders. I was leading a group of 5 that was leading a group of 12 that was leading a group of 40. Marsha Ogletree was a part of that group as well. And we were all meeting and believing God to do things in the city. And I remember one of the leaders coming up to me. He's a dear friend of mine. He's still a dear friend of mine. But he says, hey, but John, do you think that, you know, it might offend some of the other pastors if your tag says sent one? Now, I was offended that he asked me that. I had to pause for a moment, but then it hit me. You know, see, this is the problem that we have right now in the church. This is the problem. Because there's others that are saying these aren't in operation. These gifts no longer are in operation. It's in Galatians, the 4th chapter, where we see what I see is how God has purposed to grow us up. In Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it says this: Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ from at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. Now, I need you to think about that for a moment. He's saying here that this child is an heir, but he doesn't differ from the slave or the worker, even though he is owner of everything. It says, but is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. I love how that reads. I think about it like this, and I believe that, Pastor Deborah, we've got to do better in getting courses in place to help believers come into the knowledge of what it means to be an heir of God and joint heir with Christ, to mature them and help them grow up so that they can truly walk in the place that God has intended for the church to walk in. We have a course that we've established here, called MAP, Making Apostolic People. We've been working on that name because when we said making apostolic people, a lot of folks think you're talking about apostolic, the denomination. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people of authority. Our statement is making his kingdom our reality. Making his kingdom our reality. You do understand that's the assignment right there. Your assignment is to make his kingdom our reality. I did a recorded piece years ago called Mission Possible. Do we have that? Can you see if you can find that for me? Just let me know if you do, if you find it. It would be good just to let everybody hear that, just as a little something extra. As long as the heir is a child, say a child. Now I want you to recognize that there is the child of God, then there is the son of God. There are the children of God, then there are the sons of God. It's talking about a place of maturity. It goes on and says this, so also says we, while we were children, say children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, the fullness of time came. Just say, I don't want to miss this moment. This is a fullness of time moment, Sandra. It says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, because you are sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a child, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Come on, just look at somebody or act like you're looking at them and say, I'm an heir. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Christ. Now, let me tell you something. I believe this with all of my heart. Everything in your life should align itself with that statement you just made. And there are reasons why it doesn't for you, hasn't for me. If we're going to get into that, it's going to get a little tight. Because you see, just as this process, now I want you to think about this for a moment, and I've used the example of Britain and England and the Queen and the children that have been born into royalty. When those children are born, they have no clue. But I can tell you this, before they're 2 years old, they do. Before they arrive, everything is set in place concerning them coming into a place of authority. Everything is set in place. Their schooling and education is set in place. Resources are set in place. Nannies are set in place. Servants are set in place. And everybody connected with that child knows who they are. They are under guardians and managers until the time set by the Father. This is what we see as God's guardians and managers when we look at Ephesians 4. You see, the guardians and the managers are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Ephesians 4, chapter 1, it says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then it says this, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Simply meaning that you have been given an assignment and gifting, and there's grace for you to fulfill that. According to the measure of Christ's gift, meaning it's meted out to you. Your assignment is different than my assignment. That's why you never want to be envious of or be jealous of or look at someone else and want what you see they have or what they're doing. Now, you may be called to something similar, but what you really need to find out is, do you have the same level of grace operating? You see, that's the key when it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I will have to say to some of you, you've squandered grace. Jesus. You've squandered grace. You've been living too small. The measure of Christ concerning you is bigger than you could ever imagine, but you've been scared, so you squandered the grace. You need people around you. You see, when it talks about these guardians and managers, and when I think again back, I'm thinking about the example of a child being raised up in royalty. Those guardians, those managers, knowing who that individual is, they treat them with respect. There are those around them, their only assignment is to tell them how great they're going to be. Their only assignment is to keep speaking to them and reminding them, I know you want to go out and play with the other kids, but you can't do that. Because the other kids don't have what you have. They don't have the same assignment that's on your life. We are here as guardians to protect you, to keep you moving forward. Therein lies the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. It goes on and says this. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. What are those gifts? And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers for the equipping, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints for the work of service or for the work of ministry. You see, it isn't that you try to aspire to one of these gifts. You either have this or you don't. But hear me when I say to you, you may be one, hear me when I'm saying to you now, these operating are part of the foundation. And their function is for the equipping, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of service. That meaning their assignment is to make sure you're fulfilling your assignment. Their assignment is not any more important than your assignment. And he gave some as apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping and the perfecting, the maturing of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, as a result of what? As a result of maturing. As a result of growing up, as a result of being responsible now, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I know that's a mouthful. But we just kind of brought it down to one simple statement. And one year, we might have done for a couple years, we gave out, you know, little plaques and awards. And we called it Measure Worker Awards. Because our theme was this: find your place and work your measure. You see, as an apostle in this season, my role is to help you find your place and work your measure. Now, I recognize that pastoral grace in my life has lessened. It just has. But you have to be mindful. Now, I've been pastoring now 24 years as a senior pastor. I've been in ministry over 40 years. I've been an evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet. And so it's good for me to know that, and it's good for others to know that. Because when you sit down with me and you want that pastoral response, it may not be there. And it doesn't mean that I don't love you. I just need to get you to a pastor. Because it's all of these gifts working together. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. All of those gifts working together. Those are the guardians and the managers that mature us, should be an operation that brings forth true sons of God, mature ones. And the enemy has hurt the church because you can't. Now, back to diet now. You see, using the analogy, a pastor will give you a certain diet. A prophet will give you a certain diet. pastor will give you a certain diet. The teacher will give you a certain diet. The apostle will give you a certain diet. How many of you know you need to be eating more than Cheetos and French fries and cheeseburgers and when? And I'm going to name a location, but. Every now and then you need a good detox. The faith way of saying that is fast. So I'm not, what I said about this grace thing was not to make any excuses. I just know I have to help people understand, because when they come here and I say I am the senior pastor, and I am the senior pastor, but I have other pastors as well. And those pastors are in place to help to shepherd the body. My role is to help you find your place and work your measure. And so on one occasion, a gentleman calls me on the phone, and he's saying to me how tough things are, and and he says something like, why would God allow this to happen to me when I've been da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- I said, well, let me just say this to you. I said, I need you to find Psalms 73. And you need to just read that. When Psalm 73 is the same kind of scenario. This guy's talking about how he's lived his life and how the wicked seem to be prospering, but he's not prospering at all. And it goes on and on and on. And finally he says, and then I came into the sanctuary. Hey! See, sometimes you just got to get in the presence of God. The enemy will blow up any and every situation to make God look bad in your eyes to get you to stop. And I said to him, I don't have any answers for you other than this passage of scripture. I haven't heard from him since. I hope he read it. I wasn't being offensive. But what I'm endeavoring to do is grow people up. So in closing, let me just share with you what we're going to be getting into over the next few weeks. I want to spend time with the characteristics of the sons of God. So I'm just going to tell them to you real quick. You don't even got to write them down because we're going to hit this over this next month or so. But in my prayer time and just hearing from the Holy Spirit, and this isn't an all-inclusive list, but here's what I believe should be part of it, characteristics of the sons of God, the mature ones. First of all, they know how to rightly divide the word, meaning they know what to receive and what not to receive. Secondly, they can feed themselves spiritually. Third, they're a discerner and lover of truth. Number four, discerner of good and evil. Number five, learned how to apply the word. Six, learned how to stand on the word. Seven, learned how to exercise their faith. Eight, learned how to operate in their gifts. Number nine, learned to govern their speech. And lastly, I want to leave you with this thought. They recognize and accept the call to be an ambassador of reconciliation. They have a keen awareness of the kingdom of God and their responsibility to advance it. And so, again, we're going to make those available to you.